Good morning. Okay, so I'm going to tell you about how we've some of the work that we have been doing in our lab on how we can use LEDs to give specific instructions to different crop products in order to obtain some desired final outcomes. So when we think about altering plant products, we think about changing their genetic background. But what if we combine the environment with the genetics, since we know that plants are highly responsive to the environment? So given this idea, maybe we can somehow expand them or control gene expression by giving some specific environmental cues. So going beyond the traditional or most common genetic manipulations, such as breeding or the generation of the creation of GMOs, we can think of a novel concept which we like to call environmentally modified organisms. So, using this plasticity that we can see in plants in response to the environment. So giving this idea of EMOs, I'm going to tell you a little bit on photomorphogenesis and what we can do with it during plant development, and then show you some examples on how we have tested this hypothesis both at pre- and post-harvest stages in order to control the final outcomes of different plant processes. Animal development is tightly developmentally regulated. So if you look at these little two individuals, we know that they have two identical genetic backgrounds, but they will show different phenotypes given their different age. So on the left side, it's the younger and water adapted, and then we have a terrestrial adapted individual just as a result that it's older. In the case of plants, we know that we can have two individuals that have exactly the same DNA also and the same age, but they will show some completely different phenotypes if we put them under the absence or the presence of light. And this plasticity is a result of the presence of different light sensors that we can find in plants and that are responsible for receiving the different wavelengths that we can find in the light spectrum. So going from phytochromes to cryptochromes, which are probably the most extensively studied light sensors. And within these families, we have also different members, different proteins. But we also know that there are several other light sensors that are important and that are involved in sensing other wavelengths beyond red and blue light. We also know that these light sensors can act synergistically or can even switch their activity upon a specific light wavelength. We know that red and blue lights are sufficient to promote photosynthesis, and a lot of the work on LEDs has been focusing or has used just these two wavelengths since they are sufficient to promote photosynthesis and a proper plant growth. But what if we, if you look at this mutant analysis studies from Arabidopsis, where we can see deletions of the different light sensors, we can see that these mutant lines show different phenotypes upon different light conditions, indicating that each light sensor has a specific activity, and therefore there is a complex mechanism underlying the light sensing responses. So what would happen if we add some additional wavelengths besides red and blue lights in order to control additional traits besides photosynthesis and growth rates, such as chemical content or flavor, aroma, etc., in different crop species? The first studies on the light sensors came from results in Arabidopsis, but if we think about it, we also know that this tiny little brassica is a cousin of different high-value crops and high-value sprouts such as broccoli and mustard and kale. So we have been doing some work using these sprouts under different LEDs to see if we can control their appearance upon specific light cues. These experiments are relatively easy to do and fast. We can get some results really quick. And also we can easily get some information that we can possibly transfer to crop producers easily. So I'm going to show you some. In addition, we have several microgreens that we can use, therefore expanding our genotypic backgrounds and testing all the plasticity underlying it. We also know that these microgreens are high-value products, and they have a huge demand for the consumers. So if you look at the ideas, if you look at this hypothetical or theoretical biochemical pathway, the idea is that if we give, for example, a blue light signal, we can trigger or modulate the activity of several of some specific enzymes in the pathway. And if we would give another light signal, for example, of a red wavelength, we could regulate the activity of another set of enzymes, or maybe downregulate the activity of another enzyme, and so on and so on. So by adding all these levels of and interfering at different levels of the biochemical flux, we can, in the end, modulate a specific outcome or a desired trait that we want. Here is an example of a red Russian kale, and you can see its appearance when it grows for some days under white light. And then if you grow these sprouts under a combination of red and blue, you can see that they look more or less similar to white light. But then if we switch this wavelength of red to a far red component here, we get really dark purple sprouts. So this gives an idea that even if we combine more wavelengths or even additional photo fluxes, maybe we can somehow paint red Russian ceilings with light. And this is the idea here. So you can see that we just grew the sprouts under different light conditions. And then if we do several combinations, far red, blue, red, etc., we can get different gradients of colors. This plasticity, this phenotypic plasticity underlying the plant growth is also can be seen here in the growth of beet sprouts. So you can see that we can get a large variety of colors and phenotypes as long as we give the appropriate light conditions. And it's interesting to see, for example, that under red light, you can see some long hypocotyls, more almost like the sprouts were grown under darkness. And then under blue, you can see a hypocotyl elongation repression. But then if you combine blue and red, we can see the opening of the cotyledons and still some short hypocotyls. So this tells us that it's important that all the light sensors have some activities, and there's a lot of here that we can explore in order to create products, different final products. Another example here is in broccoli, where you can see that if we give a pulse of far red and blue lights, that we can get really dark purple sprouts. And then when we look at anthocyanin levels, you can see that, for example, only under far red and blue monochromatic wavelengths, there is a higher level of anthocyanins compared to white light. But then when we combine both wavelengths, there is synergistic result, indicating that there is a complex activity of all the light sensors in plants. And we have also looked at the anthocyanin levels in red Russian kale, where you can see that under far red there is a huge increase of these pigments. And since we know that they have potential health benefits for humans, we have looked at other health-related aspects, such as the antioxidant capacity, and we can see that we can efficiently modulate it upon some specific light cues. Another, still thinking about human health, we can look at glucosinolates, which are molecules with a potential activity in cancer prevention. And if we look at some individual species that we have analyzed, you can see that we got some statistically different levels upon some specific light cues. And although we don't know the biological relevance of this at least tells us that we have here the potential of creating healthier food products with light. And still, in red Russian kale, just to give you another example, you can see that while we expand our knowledge on how light affects sprouts growth, we can design some sequential light treatments that will result in a desired product. Whether we are talking about more purple or green sprouts, or with longer or shorter hypocotyls. Okay, and now just leaving a bit the brassica world, another thing that we have tested is combining the LED technology with breeding, and we have done that, we're doing that in lettuce, in order to create some varieties that show a large phenotypic plasticity. And therefore, this could allow us to create many phenotypes just from a single genotype. So as an example here, you can see the red sales lettuce, which has this aspect when grown under increasing photon fluxes of white fluorescent light. But then if we put it under different fluorescent sources, light sources, you can see that the leaves are slightly different. And if we think of narrowing down this wavelength, we have the possibility here of creating several leaves with different aspects from this same lettuce variety. This would allow us to create what Kevin called the lettuce of the future, where we would obtain leaves that look from different varieties, but they are just from the same. It's just that they were grown under different light conditions. And another example I would like to tell you about is how we have also used the LED technology to control some sensory perception in different fruits and aromatic herbs. So the idea is here, for example, if we have a test that is really bad or that the consumers don't like, if we find the correct light cues that can change that, for example, a particular volatile, maybe you can create a novel trait that will be accepted by the consumers. But of course, we always have the risk of doing another thing and creating a horrible taste. Okay. So the methodology here behind this is it's to work at post-harvest stages where we can work on flowers, fruits, or aromatic herbs, and then give them a short light pulse for some hours, then do some volatile collection and analysis by GC-MS. And using this strategy, we have been able to show both in basil and parsley some changes in two major compounds that are the basis of aroma, So linalool and eugenol. So first of all, you can see that they respond differently in the two herbs. They respond differently to the same light cues. And, well, yes, we also show the potential of altering their levels upon some individual or combination of light wavelengths. In another example, we have tested the levels of four different volatiles that are present in strawberry. And these volatiles all confer different sensory perceptions. So the first one here on the top left is grassy green, and second, apple, pineapple, then fruity, banana, fruity, sweet. So if you can somehow change all the levels at least one or two or more of these compounds, maybe we'll create some novel strawberries or even more desired for the consumers. So as a conclusion, I would like to tell you again that the concept here is that plants are EMOs. So we have here the opportunity to create novel products just if we find the adequate light cues to regulate different traits of that we reach, such as color, flavor, pigment, and nutrient levels. And maybe if we advance the knowledge in this field, maybe we can think in the future of introducing several LEDs signals at different steps of production chains. Okay, and finally, I'd like to thank Kevin Folter for his enthusiasm and being very great boss, and also all the Folter Lab, although some of the members are not with us anymore, and our collaborators at the University of Florida, Thomas and Michael. And I'll be glad to take any questions. Thank you. Yeah, so the berries, the strawberries, and also blueberries, there is some work on that. What we do is, we have done is to collect, you can select the ripening stage that you want. Usually we have done at the mature stage, and then treat the berries for 8 hours of the treatments that you want, also using a darkness as a control because it's the condition where usually the berries are stored at post-harvest stages, and then immediately do the volatile collection and analysis. So it's very short. And then for the herbs, it's also a short treatment. We're still working on to see if we can extend. We're also trying a longer term, like 1 week under LEDs, and seeing if it's supported to introduce a photo period or not in the case of giving for a long time.
But they're already cut, or they're still
growing? No, they're still growing. Going, yeah. Yes, it is going, yeah. It would be just, not post-harvest, but it could be, in this case of basil, more pre-harvest or harvest stage, because we could do or apply the LED right immediately, it would go to the store or something. Yeah. Yes?
I have a question. When you make comparisons between different wavelengths of shifts, do you normalize the total optical radiant power, mainly what that lasts, or micro per second, in order to make a comparison?
Yes.
Yes,
usually we work using the same photon flux. So and then if we do, then of course there are different things that we can test, like if you're using combinations of wavelengths, you can test ratios, of course. But if we use 100 micromolars per square meter of red, say the same for far red. If I use a combination of both, I could do 50-50 to have a total photo flux that would be equal. Yeah.
With the ceiling, if you could blue and far red and very short contact ceiling, do you have any information on how long that persisted? If they were returned with darkness, would they immediately stretch the next day, or was there a residual effect?
Yeah, that's a very important question. We don't know. I don't know that. That's an important issue. I would say it would take a little more than one day to get back to to adapt to a new condition. But the idea is, what is the outcome that we want for our product? How long and when do that product would be used? So if it would be used the day after, it would be okay, right? We don't need to worry about that. I think that the persistence of the phenotype is one of the major issues that we have to study and to think about it. Yes. Usually in sprouts, no. We do short term, so it's about 4 days experiments. That's all we do, I think it's what can interest the producers. In the case of herbs, we're trying other longer treatments, but in this case, we're not looking at pigments; we're more looking at volatiles. So. It's a little bit different. Although we can, if you leave the plants in that case for too long or for longer times in the LED chambers, we can also create products that not only taste different, but they also look different. If you give a huge far red ratio, the plants will elongate a lot. So we can also have different plants that look different. That can be interesting too.
How old were your lettuce?
Usually we have them, you grow them for about 2 months under low white light and then transfer for 1 week to the LED conditions or whatever you want to test.
The herbs or the lettuce?
The lettuce. The salad of the future, yes, what is that? So 2 months and then 2 months under white light and then 1 week under the LEDs and then you cut your leaves and you have the salad. Not yet, because we don't have any. First of all, it's expensive and it's also a bit dangerous. And so, we want to try that, but I think we have to find. First, we have to get a secure light source, and then yes, I think there's a lot of things that we could try. Especially because we can find it the solar spectrum, so it's probably. It's very important. We have to try it. We will.
Do you think people doing field production could do some similar modifications using maybe the colored shade nets or colored plastic underneath to try and increase maybe some of the volatiles or some of the pigmentation?
Yes, there is some work on that already, but that also gives us an indication on which LED sources we could try to use to target some specific components that we want. But I think the advantage of the LEDs is that we can control it better. Because if you alter the shade or use plastic mulches, of course you will interfere with the radiation and also the wavelengths, the ratio of the wavelengths. but the LEDs can allow us to control precisely the wavelength that we want and also the fluxes.
Drop a little thought on the UV thing, is that we've been using the UVC as a food safety option to be able to kind of decontaminate or well completely sterilize surfaces of different products. And it's interesting to think about how that may also be able to lend to a post-harvest change in qualities by stressing an item that's going to a retail setting. Not only decontaminate it, but also maybe change something beneficial about it. So that's coming next. UV LEDs are really not cheap.
How much time do we have? 4 minutes. So, I don't know if you want to go. Okay. Thank you.